This podcast replay is brought to you by Pallet Rack City, specializing in knockdown and installations of your warehouse equipment. They also sell used forklifts and dock equipment, largest used rack inventory in South Florida. You want a great rack? Call Eddie right now, 305-887-9212, Pallet Rack City.
Yes, it is. All right, we promised you, my man Tony Pauline from the Pro Football Network website, profootballnetwork.com. You can follow him like I do and so many others at Tony Pauline on Twitter. He was out there at the East-West Shrine game with yours truly. Let's get his perspective on what happened over the last couple of days. Tony, how you doing, my friend?
Can barely hear
you. There we go. Now we got
you. There you go. Outstanding.
There we go. It's a beautiful thing. Hey, before we start on anything, T, explain to the folks the story you broke about Michael Pinckney from the Miami Dolphins, from the Miami Hurricanes.
What I had heard was, you know, I tweeted out on Monday that both of the Miami linebackers, Pinckney and Quarterman, were really struggling in coverage drills. And it didn't surprise me that Quarterman was struggling because he's a two down in the box type of run defender. Pinckney, it did surprise me because he's an athletic guy who usually shows a lot of range on the field, both sideline to sideline. What I found out was he's got a hip issue. It's not a major hip issue, but it's been bothering him through the season, and he's been playing in a lot of pain. And he probably could have sat out the Shrine game, but he decided to go and compete. It's a situation that's got to be fixed. And I'm told the fixing is sort of an adjustment, a chiropractic type of adjustment, where they will just – I didn't get the details, but it just got to be adjusted back into place. I'm told that there is no surgery needed at this time, and there's likely no surgery needed in the future. But the hopes are once they adjust the hip back into place, he'll be pain-free, and then he's expected to run very fast at the combine. So my takeaway was Pinckney has been playing in a bit of pain, not just this week at the Shrine game, but probably during the last month or so, if not longer, during the season, which kind of explained why he was struggling so badly in coverage drills, because he's an athletic guy. He's an explosive guy. He's a guy who chews up a lot of ground in a short period of time, and I was surprised by what I saw.
All right, Tony, you know the position of need for the Dolphins is all over the place, but obviously quarterback has been the thing that they've been coveting for a while. And in this game, there were a couple project guys that are kind of interesting in Davidson and Morgan and even Kelly Bryant. Talk to us a little bit about this class, what you like about those guys, and why maybe those guys might be interesting projects in the third day of the draft.
Yeah, and that's what they are. They're projects. I don't think really Morgan is a project. I think Morgan is a guy who is more NFL ready. The problem is he just doesn't have a big, strong arm. I think James Morgan is smart. He's a guy who gets it between the ears. He's got a great understanding. His accuracy and pass placement was top-notch. I mean, absolutely top-notch. But he just doesn't possess a big-time arm. And there are limitations with that. So I think if you take James Morgan, you know, on the last day of the draft, you're basically looking at him as a career backup or a spot starter. Kevin Davidson's an interesting story. I mean, he was a first-year starter at Princeton this year. He had the strongest arm of anybody at the Shrine game. He can fling the ball down the field. He's got excellent size. The problem is sometimes you don't know where the ball's going to end up. He was accurate on some passes. He wasn't accurate on others. I thought that he was pressing a bit with to try and show off his arm strength. And because, you know, as we witnessed, there wasn't a lot of speed at the receiver position in the Shrine game. So I think he was trying to take some chances down the field with the hopes that some of, you know, he could show off his big arm and his deep ball, but the receivers were just not fast enough to catch up to it. So he's got to learn to put a little touch on. He's got to learn the nuances of the position. He started 1 year at Princeton, and he started 1 year at Princeton because they had a real good guy ahead of him who's now a tight end with the Cleveland Browns.
Yep.
Because he was a terrific athlete, and Davidson just couldn't see the field. So it's a situation where with Davidson where you're looking at a guy, if you draft him, you know, he's maybe going to spend a year on the practice squad to learn the position. I got to spend some time with him. I got to talk with him. He's a bright individual.
Yeah.
He's a motivated guy. He wants to play football. It's just he hasn't really played that much the last 4 years, even 5 years. He didn't play except for four games his senior year in high school. So it's just a matter of getting him the work.
Yeah.
Kelly Bryant, I like what I saw from Kelly Bryant. I mean, I like Kelly Bryant when he was a freshman and sophomore at Clemson. I thought he had big-time potential. Obviously, he lost out to Dexter Lawrence. You know, Kelly Bryant showed some flashes of brilliance the past 3 days. accurate down the field passes, dropping the ball in the bucket 45 yards down the field. He showed great patience. He showed poise. He made one play yesterday where he got out of the pocket and made a great play on the move, but he also showed a lot of inconsistency, and that's the problem with Kelly Bryant. I think with Kelly Bryant, especially coming out of Missouri system, it's a situation where you're going to have to start from the ground up really work him. He needs a good quarterback coach. He needs some good development, and I think you could have something on your hands with Kelly Bryant, but again, you're looking at a very late round pick and a guy that's going to take a year or two before he's NFL ready.
How any of the other guys didn't really catch your eye?
A lot of them caught my eye in the sense that I wouldn't touch them. I mean, they just were not. After the three guys we mentioned, I mean, it was really downhill for a lot of those other quarterbacks.
All right. Getting pressure on the quarterback is a major need for the Dolphins. And again, I thought there were a couple of pretty interesting guys that could help out teams in that third day. Talk to us a little bit about what you saw on the defensive side.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I thought Mike Dana of Michigan, really, he got better and better as the week went on, and he really showed a lot of skill on Wednesday. When Wednesday's a big day of practice. In fact, you know, opponents were resorting to basically holding him and throwing him to the ground. He's athletic. He's fast up the field. He gets a lot of pressure. You know, didn't have much playing time this year at Michigan, but that's because he was the third defensive end. They got two good guys in front of him. One we're going to see next week in Josh Uche at the Senior Bowl. But that is the guy, I think, somewhere in the middle of day three, you could have a situational pass rusher. I like what I saw from Bryce Huff out of Memphis. I've been a Bryce Huff fan for two, almost 3 years now. He showed ability standing over tackle. He showed ability coming out of a three-point stance. Got linebacker size. He's not really big, and he's a guy who's got to get the first step off opponents.
But he's strong. But dude, he's strong, man. I give him credit. He's got some power.
He struggles getting off blocks. You got to develop some of those. And I think it's the fact that he primarily, you know, they used him out of a three-point stance where he wasn't used all that much over his career at Memphis out of a three-point stance. I thought Derek Tuzak of Tuzka, however you pronounce his last name, with North Dakota State, showed a couple of good things. So, but again, I think those are all guys you're looking at in the last day of the draft, and guys that they could make an active roster, be situational pass rushers, special team players at the next level.
All right, so offensive linemen, talk to me first. Interior guys, because there were a couple that I really like. You and I both like the Rhode Island kid. He caught my eye, man. I think that's a nice little project again to work with.
Very good player. Technically, he was outstanding, and I was talking to a couple of people about him. I mean, the way he bends his knees, the way he blocks with leverage, he's a solid position blocker. He gets it between the ears. You could see a couple times when they threw blitzes, he was able to adjust and redirect and pick it up. He showed the ability to get on the second level and hit a moving target. He's undersized. I mean, he's barely 290 pounds. You come from Rhode Island, you're going to need a year or two in an NFL weight training program. He's got to get stronger. He's got to add some bulk to his frame, but he's got the athleticism. He's got the agility, and he knows how to play with proper fundamentals, which is, you know, something that's key. So, again, you know, a last day pick, fifth round earliest, more like a sixth, seventh rounder, but a guy that you're going to develop 1 or 2 years down the road. I liked what I saw from Calvin Throckmorton of Oregon. I didn't think he was lights out, but I mean, here's a guy who played right tackle at Oregon. He lined up at guard and center at the Shrine Game, did a good job at guard, did a solid job at center. So that sort of versatility, you know, you get a guy like that in the fifth round who could end up starting for you. I thought Throckmorton did a good job. John Runyon of Michigan also showed some solid things. Again, a college tackle who they kicked into guard. And keep this name on your lips, Kevin Dotson out of Louisiana. I mean, this is a guy who was a real good player at Louisiana for 3 years, didn't get the due that he was credited. I've liked him since he was a freshman. Went there and really showed a lot of good things against, I mean, the defensive line was the strongest area in the Shrine Game for both the East and the West squads, and I thought Dotson did a good job against the players he faced against.
Did you like Onwenu from Michigan? I like him, man. I do. I like him.
As we talked yesterday, he was a guy who was graded as a street free agent by scouts coming into the year. I thought he was a last day worthy. He's very explosive and he's very strong on film. The problem is he's too big. He goes about 345, 350 pounds. He's a bit top heavy. He's one of those guys where once he gets his hands on the opponent, game over. He's taking the guy out of the play, and he's able to control the guy. The issue for him is sometimes he lunges or he overextends in the blocks and he's off balance. He's got the basic fundamentals. He's got good short area quickness. He does a good job blocking with leverage and bending his knees. The thing for Onwenu is he's got to lose 25 to 30 pounds, really get himself in shape and improve his blocking balance. If he does that, he can play on Sunday.
Darrell Williams from Mississippi State, what's your thoughts on the center?
You know, I thought he was up and down. I did watch him. I thought he had a couple of good snaps where he looked, he looked NFL caliber. I also thought that there was a lot of inconsistency at times where he was getting beat by opponents. If he gets drafted, you're looking in the late rounds. I think he's more of an NFL backup. In my opinion, just didn't do anything to stand out to me like some of the other guys did.
All right, wide receiver. Dude, I thought there were a lot of interesting names here, a lot of tall guys in this one, although one guy that wasn't big was Mason Kinsey from Barry. That kid put on a show yesterday.
Not just yesterday. I mean, all 3 days. He was good from the start. Monday practice, it was him and Malcolm Perry from Navy, and then Perry kind of couldn't keep up the pace, but Perry could not keep up the pace. But Malcolm Kinsey from Barry kept on improving and improving. They could not cover this guy. He is so quick. He's quick off the line. He runs scissor-sharp routes. They can't stay no cornerback could stay on his hip out of routes. He was constantly getting separation. He catches the ball incredibly well. He's got tremendous quickness. He doesn't have top-end speed, not a deep threat, and he's a little bit small. But I think he's a guy that, with the way he played, if you're not stuck on the measurables, with the way he played, I think you've got to consider this guy in the very late round as a slot receiver, punt returner, that sort of player. He seems very motivated. He basically stepped up. I mean, who really knew of Barry? And I know he was graded by scouts coming into the year, but really before Monday, who knew of Barry College? We're talking about Mason Kinsey here as a potential draft pick, and it's because of his play. He was absolutely terrific. I mean, he's one of these small scatterbug type of skill players that, I harken back, and I know Miami fans remember this name, a Wayne Krabet type, where, people laugh because he's so small, but the guy knows how to play football, the guy knows how to get open, the guy knows how to catch the football. And I think eventually there's going to be a place for him at the next level.
All right, so that's a small guy. Tell me about a couple of the long, lanky guys that actually impressed this week, whether it's Gavin or Parker or Overton, Wright, you name it. Tell me.
Yeah, I liked Isaiah Wright. Isaiah Wright was quiet on Monday. I thought he really picked it up Tuesday and Wednesday. A bigger, taller guy. Doesn't have the great quickness and speed, but when the ball's up there, that jump ball's up there, he's going up and he's coming down with it. We had a lot of nice receptions where he's able to leave his feet and basically went out for the contested throw. I thought Nick Westbrook of Indiana, another guy who goes about 6'5", 215 pounds, I thought he had a terrific week. Again, doesn't have the great quickness or speed, but made a lot of nice receptions. Had a nice deep reception on a throw. I think it was from Kelly Bryant. I'm not absolutely sure about that. Where it was 40 yards down the field, he had a defender draped on the draped on his back, over the shoulder reception, made a couple of nice catches in the red zone. So I liked Isaiah Wright. I also liked Nick Westbrook a lot, sort of the taller receivers. The question with those guys, again, it's easy when you're 6'5", 6'4 and a half, to win out for those contested throws on the college level. When you get to the NFL, it's a different beast altogether. That lack of quickness and speed is going to hurt him. But still, there's a place for those guys. And that place is in the last day of the draft as your fourth or fifth receiver, where you're going to use them on third downs or in the red zone.
All right. And, of course, Tony Pauline from the ProFootballNetwork.com website. Follow him on Twitter at Tony Pauline. All right, Tony, let's wrap it up with this. Let's talk a little bit about the running backs. Who stood out to you? Guys like Feaster, the Notre Dame kid, I thought actually had a good week. What do you think?
I thought Jones from Notre Dame had a good last day during the week. He was kind of up and down. The running back that stood out for me really from the get-go, from day one, was James Robinson of Illinois State, a player that a lot of people thought should be playing in the Senior Bowl. he did it both as a ball carrier and as a pass catcher. I mean, he ripped off some big-time runs where he was able to scoot through the hole, make defenders miss, and here's a guy who's 215 pounds, caught the ball very, very well out of the backfield. I thought that he was the most consistent, the most productive back all 3 days.
If I remember correctly, on day two, he had a hell of a day with the blocking, too. I think, if I'm correct, he was the kid that I don't think he missed an assignment in that drill. I think that's a kid.
I thought Tavian Feaster, I mean, that could be true. But the thing with James Robinson is, like I said, a lot of he came into this season with mid-round grades. So a lot of people thought he should be playing in the Senior Bowl. You know, if he runs incredibly well, he could slide into the third round. I still think he's more of a fourth, fifth round type back, but I still think he's a viable next level prospect, a guy who I think it will be a good rotational back. I agree with you about Tavian Feaster, especially with the blocking. I thought he was a sensational blocker all week. He showed some surprising quickness. You know, these games are a lot about expectations. You go to these games, if you are better than expected, you're faster than expected, you're quicker than expected, you run better routes than expected, you throw the ball with a stronger arm than expected, you know, that's what raises eyebrows. And I thought Feaster had much better than expected quickness. Also put the ball very well out of the backfield. You're looking at a late-round pick, but you're looking at a guy that, you know, could be a third-down back, could be a short yardage runner, a guy that you're going to keep in the backfield on passing downs to protect the protect your quarterback. I agree with you. I thought Feaster, from start to finish, had a real good week of practice.
So what are you guys doing on the Pro Football Network there, Tony, over the next couple of days so folks can check you out?
Well, we've got breakdowns of every single practice at Shrine Game, which both you and I were at. We're going to have some final analysis. Obviously, this weekend is championship weekend or the title, the conference title game weekends. We'll have a breakdown of that. There'll be a little wagering information on that.
Oh, yeah.
And then next week, it's going to be wall-to-wall Senior Bowl coverage. I mean, we're going to have five guys out there breaking down all the players at each position. Story, content, which you won't be able to keep up with. We'll have some buzz features at night as to what's being said around the halls of the Players Hotel in Mobile. Going to be a lot of fun. Going to be a lot of work. Going to be a lot of stuff. So make sure you keep your mobile phones tuned in, because either on Twitter at Pro Football Network or at Tony Pauline, or you have your tablets with you or whatever you use to read the internet, because there'll be so much content, you won't have enough time to do what you're supposed to be doing.
There you go. And follow him on Twitter at Tony Pauline. And go to the website, profootballnetwork.com. Excellent website. Great read, as always. Tony, appreciate it, my brother. Look forward to seeing you next week at the Senior Bowl, my friend.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You got it. There you go, the great Tony Pauline. Gotta love it, man. Good man there, as always, joining us on the program. All right, if you want to get in, it's really simple. All you got to do is dial 786-322-1105. If you want to get in on the accidentlawfirm.com text line, 786-322-1105. Hey, we're at Toyota of Hollywood, 1841 North State Road 7 in Hollywood, the number one volume sales dealership, the number one Toyota volume sales dealership in the Southeast United States. And, of course, they've got all kinds of great programs right now where they'll make your payments until 2021, 0% financing for 72 months. They've got all kinds of great deals and over 1,500 cars and trucks in stock for you to choose from. Trust me, and you will get a great selection at Toyota of Hollywood. All right. The New Orleans Police Department has issued an arrest warrant for Browns wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. Wow, we were talking about the money thing with LSU players and all that. Ah, we've got an even sweeter charge now. Okay. I mean, it doesn't stop with Odell. It's just one of those things. An oatmeal cookie. Thank you, sir. So here we go. He's being charged with simple battery. Video surfaced this week showing Beckham slapping the butt of a Superdome security guard in the LSU locker room after the Tigers' national championship victory over Clemson on Monday in New Orleans. Why would she complain? Isn't it an honor for her to get her ass smacked by Odell Beckham? Anyway, New Orleans Police Department Public Affairs Officer Juan Barnes confirmed that the security guard filed the complaint. You mean she didn't think it was an honor to get her butt slapped by Odell Beckham? Louisiana State defines simple battery as battery committed without the consent of the victim. Punishment in Louisiana can include a fine of no more than $1,000 and imprisonment for no more than 6 months or both. We are aware of the incident, have been in touch with Odell and his representatives on the matter, the Browns said in a statement issued on Thursday. By the way, being his agent, is the commission really that worth, is it really worth it? You know what I'm saying? Anyway, they are cooperating with the proper authorities to appropriately address the situation. Beckham was also captured on video passing out money to several LSU players immediately after the game. The university's athletic department issued a statement Wednesday saying it was aware of the video and the apparent cash being given to players by Beckham and that has been in contact with the NCAA, the SEC regarding the matter. And we read this before. We are aware of the situation regarding Odell interacting with LSU student athletes and others unaffiliated with the team following the championship game Monday night. Yada, 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 yada. Whatever.
You know what's my favorite? They got it on film. This should be a slam dunk.
Yeah. They got everything on film now. They got him slapping the woman in the butt on film. By now, let me break some news to some of you out there that you may not know because I know Odell Beckham doesn't know. There's cameras everywhere. Everybody's got a camera, dude. You realize that you're on camera somewhere, wherever you're at. Right now, you just went to Subway's. You're on camera walking all the way to Subway's and back. You do something anywhere here, they got you on camera, bro. Wherever you're at, out in public, people have their phones up filming all kinds of crap. They may not be filming you directly, but they may have filmed you indirectly. You don't even know. So for those of you that feel like you need to slap women's butts, for those of you that feel like you're going to do something stupid, understand there are cameras everywhere, and there's a good chance you're going to get busted. And again, couldn't happen to a nicer guy. I mean, his ignorance, because this comes from entitlement. He legitimately probably thought she would get a kick out of, wow, Odell slapped my ass. Ooh. He probably thought the security guard wasn't going to clean her butt for the next 2 years because Odell slapped it. You know, some fans, they shake hands with their favorite actor or actress or artist or whatever, and they're like, oh, I'll never wash my hand again. Right? That kind of stuff. Odell was like, yeah, I'll slap you in the butt, and I'm sure you'll never wash your butt again. I'm sure the security guard even has those pants hanging. She probably framed them right now. Those are the pants I wore when Odell slapped me. Now, in all seriousness, she probably will frame them after she wins her lawsuit off Odell. And she'll say, yeah, those are the pants that I made an extra $300,000 from Odell. It's great. Great talking point. It's fantastic. It's baffling to me. All of this stuff is baffling to me. The way Harvey Weinstein acts, all of this stuff is beyond my thing. I grew up in an era where you might have gotten away with that kind of stuff. No, I'm sorry. I grew up in an era where you did get away with that stuff. Not that I did it, but I'm just saying. In the 70s and 80s, you probably could smack a woman's ass and she's like, hey, stop it. Oh, you can't do that. Don't do that. That's not funny. And that's it. And it's a joke and nobody was going to get in trouble. Nobody was going to point it out, whatever. You got to figure by now that you can't do stuff like that. But these kind of people, Harvey Weinstein, Odell Beckham, Bill Cosby, whatever, all these kind of people that have been involved in all these sexual assault and harassment cases. It's like they feel they have an entitlement that they can get away with it, that you will allow them to get away with it, that you are honored that they are doing it to you. Isn't that amazing? That's really what it's all about. They feel like, hey, man, it's my golden hand smacking your butt. In fact, your butt now is even better now that I smacked it. It's more desirable to people now. It's kind of what these guys are thinking. It really is amazing. But, hey, hopefully they will arrest him. Hopefully he doesn't really get it, right? So he needs to pay a serious price at one point or another in life. Because these kind of human beings will continue to take advantage of every situation. Alex Cora, do you think that that was the first elaborate way that Alex Cora devised to steal signs in his life? Do you not think that Alex Cora was doing it at other times in his career, in other ways, on other teams, as a player, whatever? Of course. This isn't something that just happened. It's like the dude that gets busted at the Asian day spa. Oh, no, honey, this was my first time there. Dude, it was your first time this week there. Come on. Oh, officer, no, I'm sorry. I never speed. Today was the only day that I was speeding because, you know, I was behind. I had to get to work. And I'm sure the officer hands you back the license. Oh, yeah, no, I can tell this was your first day. You've never sped in your life. Come on, man. You know, and that's what these people are. They abuse and abuse and abuse because they feel like they can abuse. And that's what Odell Beckham is. So hopefully he will get abused a little bit when he goes to prison. That's all right. They'll put him in a little cell by himself. And he won't learn a lesson either. He'll probably point fingers and blame everybody else for his screw-ups, like most people do. Oh, well, her ass was in the way. It wanted me to smack it. You know, that kind of stuff. Yes?
He'll probably get in jail and still have that sense of entitlement.
Oh, for sure.
Expect me to eat that? Really?
You can bet your life that that's going to be the case with him. Okay? You can bet your life. He will be pointing it and the finger too at others. 786-322-1105. That's 786-322-1105. If you want to get in on the program as we take you till about 3 o'clock. And we do want to remind you that the show is brought to you by Moody's Dental. And let me tell you something, folks. For over 30 years, they've been using the latest dental technology. I should know because I'm experiencing it myself. I would never tell you, hey, go buy this car or lease it, and I wouldn't do it myself. I wouldn't tell you, hey, go eat this donut, and I wouldn't do it myself. Hey, go eat at this restaurant. I wouldn't do it myself. Hey, use Pallet Rack City because I wouldn't use. No. I would use all of it myself, and that's what I'm doing with Moody's Dental. I got my Invisaligns on. Which, by the way, can I give you a tip on Invisaligns? Okay? If you go to VSS West Pines, okay, and you get the turmeric and ginger jelly beans, right? I think they're called jelly beans. And they're orange jelly beans, and they are delicious. And it's great because it's turmeric, and it's good for my heart and all that good stuff. But the orange, see, if you put on your Invisaligns and you start chewing, and you forget to, because you're supposed to eat and everything with the Invisaligns, which I do, with no problem. But the problem is that I didn't realize that I probably should have rinsed or washed my teeth right away after that. Because my Invisaligns now are like light orange. And I have to have these on till Tuesday. So it's funny because people are looking at me like, hey, man, your teeth are kind of yellow. Normally, when you put on the Invisaligns, you can't see them. Okay, you have to like look real close to notice that you have something on. And so it's great. And they're easy. You know, I can wear them with no problem and it doesn't affect me. I do 4 hours of radio every day. But just a tip, if you have anything that kind of stains a little bit, make sure you take off the Invisaligns or you rinse right away. Don't have the turmeric, because the turmeric, you're not supposed to eat it. You're supposed to like suck on it, put it under your tongue. So that way you absorb it in your body and it goes in directly faster, because as you all know, that this is the area that it'll get into your bloodstream a lot faster. And so that's the one tip I would give you, so you don't stain your Invisaligns like I did. But by the way, they are Invisalign and implant experts. I am straightening out my bottom teeth here. So we've got the Invisaligns on. I will go to the next stage on Tuesday, actually. I will go to the next stage of Invisaligns, and I will go with that for a couple weeks again. And then I switch it over and switch it over and all that good stuff. A couple months. By the time you guys see me at the draft, my teeth will be straightened out by then. Be pretty cool. I like it. So please call Moody's Dental, 305-821-0231. Implants, Invisalign, you name it. You want to fill a cavity, whatever it is. Go see Eric. Want to clean your teeth. Please tell them that Big O sent you. They will take care of you, man. Hey, take care of the sponsors that take care of us and allow us to do this every single day. Okay? Appreciate it. Big time. All right. So when you do go to Choice Mortgage Bank or Toyota of Hollywood or Moody's Dental or wherever, VSS West Pines, make sure you mention our show and mention yours truly. Okay. Very important, because that's the way. I like it. When I hear this, I think of the machine shop in Coral Way. Yeah, it was an arcade place. One of the first, like, giant arcade places in Miami. And it was a really, really cool place. Used to go there a lot back in the 70s as a kid. I think it lasted to early 80s, and then it closed, I want to say. I think it closed, and then Video Powerhouse is the one that opened up down the street, I think, if I'm correct. How I remember that is truly amazing, I got to tell you. Can't remember John Legend, but I can remember Video Powerhouse.
Obviously running a little past the hour.
I can do that.
You know what would be an awesome thing if it came out?
What's that?
LSU alum gets pissed off and they're going to be in trouble because of what Odell Beckham did. And hey, here's this film. I saw him touch it and I got it on, you know, he works at the stadium. You know how awesome that would be?
Yeah,
that
it is on film.
Burn this guy.
But it is on film.
But you understand
I know,
motivation.
But what I said earlier, LSU needs to ban him from the campus because he is a detriment to the university and to its students.
Yeah.
Because he's putting them, you know, in a difficult situation and getting them in trouble. And so you got to suspend him. Ban him. That's all.
I would just love to hear that a disgruntled LSU alum is the one who saw the film and this and that and went and talked to the lady and collaborated and
so
let's
good.
Burn this guy.
So good. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back in a couple minutes here. We'll get ready for the final hour of the program. We're already into the final hour of the show. It's nuts, man.
If you want to get technical, we're actually only got 57 minutes left.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, we don't even have an hour left.
We're on the other side of the hour.
Yeah, no, that's great stuff. And in this hour, Craig Mish is going to join us talking about that baseball scandal. Let's get one of the best baseball insiders in the business in Craig Mish, Fantasy Radio. Also at 2:30, George Richards from the Panthers. He covers the Panthers for the Athletics. For the Athletic, he covers the Panthers. The S is behind the Panthers, not the Athletic. Anyway, so we will talk to George, and we'll talk a little Panthers. And I got to ask him about Gerard Gallant, man. I mean, that's like a story that – do the Panthers get a little break here from all of this? right? I mean, it's kind of weird. The dude gave the Panthers their best season and they fired, well, second best season because Stanley Cup, and they fired him. And then the Knights get to the Stanley Cup playoffs, the finals, and they fire him? Weird. Weird. So I got to talk to George Richards about that one. Let's take a quick break. Back with more right here on the Big O Show, live from beautiful Toyota of Hollywood.
The world's biggest band is coming twice. Metallica. Headlining the Welcome to Rockville Music Festival. Two different nights, two different sets. The weekend of May 8th through the 10th. Go to WelcomeToRockvilleFestival.com for all information. Get your tickets on sale right now. The one, the only, Metallica. Go to WelcomeToRockvilleFestival.com.